Now, the president, you know, was in Texas yesterday, and he was attending some fundraisers. And the president spoke to a crowd of supporters at the Paramount Theater in Austin yesterday. And the tone of the president's comments really were sharper. And the media is catching on this. The tone of the president's comments significantly sharper than what we've seen from the president recently. There was some anger in the president's tone. Did you catch any of this? We've got a bunch of sound from his remarks yesterday, and I want to play it for you. And I would imagine supporters of the president are glad to see him standing up, especially with the news that there are more people that are talking about possible impeachment, which, again, I even hate bringing it up. It's as we talked about recently, trying to impeach the president, there's no way the Senate would convict with Democrats in control of the Senate. I think you just wind up creating further division by trying to impeach the president. I think it's better to focus on principles and policies at this point rather than personalities personally. But the president responding to a lot of these things yesterday, going after Republicans, saying some things I'm sure his supporters appreciated. There was a lot of applause for the president in Austin yesterday. Some of his comments have made me more than a little bit angry. We'll get to your reaction here. Here's the president telling his supporters to not listen to the naysayers and cynics. The president said the real problem has been a Congress that refuses to work with him.
America is making progress, despite what the cynics say. Despite unyielding opposition and Congress that can't seem to do anything.
I don't have any problem with that. I don't have any problem with Congress not getting anything done. I really don't, because when they do, all their, you know, the laws he wants to pass would just further infringe on your liberties and just, raise taxes and spend more money. Those are the kinds of things he wants to do. I'm not in favor of any of those things. I want to see less federal government, not more. The president went on, saying that, again, he's blasting Congress for their failure to work with him.
Every day I will keep asking the
question. Here we go. This is the cut.
That's what made our country great. A sense of common purpose. A sense we're all in it together, as one nation, as one people. We can debate the issues, we can have our differences, but let's do something.
The problem here being, I think, in the things that he wants to get done. He talks about having a common vision. You think that president's got anything in common with me? Seriously? I mean, I look at the president, what do we have in common? The view that he has for America and the view that I have for America, we don't have anything in common. I mean, I have a hard time finding commonalities. I don't feel he understands or necessarily cares to understand what drives somebody like me and the direction that I think the country should be going. 336-1320 is our phone number, 1-800-228-4435. Let's get you a little bit more here of the president in Austin yesterday.
The best thing you can say about this Congress, the Republicans in Congress, and particularly the House of Representatives, the best thing you can say for them this year is that so far they have not shut down the government or threatened to have America welch on our obligations and ruin our credit rating. That's the best you can say. But, of course, it's only July, so who knows what they may cook up.
Yeah, isn't this how you get people to work with you? Really? You go out and you poke them in the eye? You know, he's standing there, and just as recently, I mean, as 2 days ago, this issue of immigration and what's happening on immigration, or I should say the invasion on the southern border. I hate using that word immigration. It's not immigration's the legal process. As we talk about the flood of illegals down on the southern border, begging Congress to work with him. Then he goes down to Austin, Texas, in the heart of where that is taking place. And this is what, this is the kind of rhetoric he's using. So we'll get more from this. Speaker John Boehner held a news conference yesterday. And in a rare show of, a response to the president, Boehner went off on the president. And it was a thing of beauty. And, you know, I don't often compliment House Speaker John Boehner, but he made a comment yesterday. When I heard it yesterday, he just hit a grand slam. I'll play that for you coming up, and we'll get your reaction. The president was in Texas yesterday, and he spoke to supporters at the Paramount Theater in Austin yesterday, and he took a pretty sharp tone during much of his comments. Do you think it's going to be possible for this president and the Congress to be able to work together? 336-1320, 1-800-228-4435. Or do you, granted, we got the midterms coming up, so we'll see what happens in terms of, you know, should Republicans retain control of the House, get control of the Senate? Will Democrats pick up seats? Obviously, we'll find out coming up in November. But as you watch what's happening between the two sides right now, I mean, I know there's a lot of frustration out there about things not getting done, but here's the thing. When the president says about things not getting done, the things that I hear about him and his agenda, I don't like. I'm glad they're not getting done. I don't see his policies as a path to prosperity for the country. So I guess I don't get all shook up that that he's not making progress on the things that he'd like to be doing. Is it going to be possible for Congress to be able to come together when they don't vote on clean pieces of legislation? I mean, I think that's one of the big obstacles in Congress right now. Is not just the polarization that's taken place out there, but the fact then that, you know, my feeling is find those things on which you can agree and pass those as clean bills without piling other crap on it. But what happens? Every time you got something, then one side's going to add this, and then the other side says, well, then we're going to add this. I think one of the big failures of Congress and the reasons that you see so much gridlock is because they don't vote on clean bills. They load every bill up, one side or the other or both, with something the other side doesn't like. Well, then if we're going to give you that, then we've got to have this. And that game begins. What you don't see in Congress is saying, okay, what are all these things on which we can agree? Let's pass clean bills just on those things. And these things on which we don't agree, we'll continue to hammer them out. But either one side or the other get to the point where, well, they don't want to pass these things because that's their leverage. They don't want to give away their leverage. And I think that's the big problem in Congress. 336-1320, 1-800-228-4435. Good morning, Gene. You're on Tello.
Yeah, I had to call in and tell you that I think I have the solution, the blueprint for solving our problems.
What's that?
Both sides of the aisle need to go out and rent the movie Dave and use that as a blueprint. You know that movie?
I do.
Kevin Kline.
Kevin Kline, yeah. Yeah.
Charles Grodin.
Right.
In 2 hours, they fixed the whole nation's problems.
Yeah, they make it look so easy in that movie,
don't they?
Charles Grodin comes in, the accountant, and goes through the books and says, look at this.
Exactly. When they solved it over a meal of bratwurst and sauerkraut. Hey, let's do that. Come on. Yeah. It worked on the big screen. Can it work here?
If only it were that simple.
It can't be any worse. They should at least try it.
I would agree. It couldn't be worse. Thanks.
There you go.
Take care, Gene. 336-1320. Good morning, Paul. You're on Kello.
Good morning, Greg. Say, Obama's not going to work with Congress because they don't have his agenda. And You know, I read somewhere, I've heard that if you smoke pot when you're younger and stuff, it affects your cycle, your development, and so your maturity development. I've heard that, and it seems to me that's what happened, because he's like a petulant child. If he doesn't get his way, you know, he's not going to compromise. He's that spoiled child who's hold his breath until they do what he wants, or he's going to do it, you know, ask dad when mom already said no. You know, so that's what's going to happen. The only hope is that the Republicans take the Senate, and they can steamroll over him as long as their ideas are good ideas and not ideas that are just as destructive and anti-American as Obama. So,
I agree. And, you know, Republicans have not had the best track record at times. So I'm glad you prefaced it with that comment. Paul, thanks. Coming up, I'm going to run that piece of audio for you from John Boehner from his news conference yesterday, responding pretty strongly to the president's failure to act. It's Your Business with Bill Zortman coming up after 9 this morning. The president at the Paramount Theater in Austin, Texas yesterday. A lot of sharp words for Republicans. I'll let you hear more of what the president had to say, but also House Speaker John Boehner yesterday holding a news conference. And as you know, we've been talking about it most of this week, the crisis going on the southern border, the number of illegals that are just flooding into the United States, especially unaccompanied kids, and the problems that are ongoing as a result of that. A lot of criticism of the president that it's a failure of his administration to enforce the border that has resulted in what we're seeing happening down there. So this issue came up at John Boehner's news conference yesterday, and this was among Boehner's comments.
This is a problem of the president's own making. He's been president for 5.5 years. When is he going to take responsibility for something?
I loved it. I absolutely loved that. I wish we would hear Boehner speak that way more often. He's absolutely right. When do you hear this president accept a responsibility and take accountability for the things that are going on? Always somebody else's fault. And people wonder why I have such little patience for this president, because I have no patience for people who are always blaming everything on somebody else. And I have no tolerance for it in my life whatsoever. For those who cannot own up to their mistakes, and for those who are always passing the buck. I mean, this guy's the opposite of Harry Truman. The buck stops here. This president's passing bucks on faster than any president we've ever seen. Nothing's ever his fault. It's always somebody else's fault. We've 5.5 years into his presidency, we're still blaming George Bush for all of the conditions that the country's in. That's all the fault of Republicans. Democrats weren't there spending money. You know, Democrats didn't raise the debt ceiling. Yeah, they had no part of that. I mean, these people, it's incredible. So that's what we get from this president. Nothing is ever his fault. And when have you ever heard him accept responsibility for anything that's happened on his watch, whether it's the IRS scandal, whether it's, as Boehner was talking about, what's happening right now down on the southern border? He just completely, what did I hear Rush call him? As I laughed out loud, because it was a perfect observer-in-chief. Observer-in-chief, because that's pretty much what he is. He's just there, helpless to do anything, watching events unfold. And nothing's his fault. You know, anybody could be president, do that. No, I had no idea that was going on. Yeah, not my fault. And this is what we get. And the president wonders why he's got, how did he refer to it? The fact that people won't, this constant opposition to him. It's pushback from his attitude. They don't see him as cooperative. They don't see him as wanting to get things done. 336-1320 is our number, 1-800-228-4435. Good morning, Scott. You're on, Kello.
Greg, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Scott.
You know, the frustration I have, especially with this border issue, is this idea that the president and those in his party and even some establishment Republicans that the immigration system is broken and that's why we have all this stuff happening. I take issue with that because I think the part of the reason it's broken is because they're not enforcing the laws that we have. I get they don't like the way the current system works. They want it to be a lot easier for people to get here legally, but that's not the current system we have, and they refuse to enforce the laws that we currently have, which would help mitigate what's going on the border.
I totally agree with you. I mean, we act as if we have no laws on immigration. I mean, as if no other Congress and no other president have ever passed laws on immigration. I mean, we act like we're down there and we don't have any laws to guide us and it's complete chaos and anarchy. I totally agree with you, Scott. The failure is because we don't follow the laws that we've already passed.
Well, and I don't know the entire history, but, you know, I do know back during Reagan's amnesty, there was a secure the border piece of that never happened. You know, the amnesty happened, and then the second piece never happened. I know that there was a funding bill, I think, what was it, back in 2002 or 2003 with Bush and that Congress that got passed that had money to build a fence.
Yep.
And that never got funded, yet this president, I don't know if it was a year ago or so or 2 years ago, talking about, you know, if we put the fence up and then what do they want, a moat and then alligators in the moat and all that stuff. No, Mr. President, that's a lie. You did not build that fence. it's just there's no effort to secure the border.
I totally agree. And the problems that we're seeing down there completely stem from our failure to secure the border and then to enforce our border. I was telling Brownie yesterday, we'll get more to this coming up. We got to get to the Hannity Morning Minute.
Hello.
Just joining us this morning, the president has been in Texas, and he spoke to supporters at the Paramount Theater in Austin yesterday. And it was a pretty sharp tone, critical of Republicans, critical of Congress for not doing anything, especially critical of the House of Representatives, going after them, upset that they're suing him. The president said, you hear some of them, sue him, impeach him. And then he said, really? For what? You're going to sue me for doing my job? Okay, I mean, think about that. You're going to use taxpayer money to sue me for doing my job while you don't do your job? Well, House Speaker John Boehner spoke about the lawsuit yesterday. Boehner, by the way, has been one of those who is not in favor of impeachment. He is instead pursuing a lawsuit against the president, and he spoke to it, I thought, very well yesterday.
This isn't about me suing the president. It's not about Republicans versus Democrats. This is about the legislative branch that's being disadvantaged by the executive branch. And it's not about executive actions. You know, every president does executive orders. Most of them, though, do them within the law. What we're talking about here are places where the president is basically rewriting law to make it fit his own needs. And you'll know more about this in next week and the following week as we continue to move this issue forward.
David. Thank you, sir. You said in your letter to the members a few weeks ago that the president has declined to faithfully execute the law. Isn't that an impeachable offense?
He's just asked about impeachment here.
I think this is a battle between the two branches of government. Others can make a determination about whether it's impeachable or not. I believe that the path that we're going is the right one to defend our institution against the encroachment from the executive branch and to preserve the Constitution of our country as it was written and as it was intended.
I thought great comments from House Speaker John Boehner yesterday on the lawsuit there, making it very, very clear what it's about. And he's absolutely right. And Obamacare would be the best example, the employer mandate of Obamacare with, you know, with the president postponing the employer mandate, even though the bill specifically listed a start date passed by Congress. The president changed it. He doesn't have the authority to do that. He doesn't. The president is not a lawmaker. It's a chief executive. He's there to carry out the policies that are enacted by Congress. 336-1320, 1-800-228-4435. Good morning, Bruce. You're on Kello.
Good morning, Greg. Wasn't the president's job at some point of being a constitutional professor, teaching the Constitution?
Correct.
Well, was it there, or just like everywhere else he's been, he wasn't paying attention or never held accountable, or as a child should have been spanked and held accountable? That's where the problem. Somebody said earlier, because he smoked pot, that arrested his
development. Well, and I don't want to get into that. So to me, you know, that's we're being childish when we start talking about that kind of stuff.
But he's never been held accountable for anything. That's why John Boehner is so exactly right. And that's where it starts. When you're a child, your parents teach you to be accountable. If you steal, cheat, lie, when you're a child, that's when you need to have, you know, maybe it's a timeout. They get your mouth washed out with soap. But this president has never been held accountable by anybody. He's been coddled everywhere he goes. And then we wonder why he stands up in front of a crowd and says, oh, sue me for what? Well, Alfred E. Newman, for violating the Constitution every single day. And standing up and giving us a bunch of lies like that yesterday and having no one call him on it? Well, thank you, John Boehner, for calling on it, the House of Representatives. And I hope they succeed in this lawsuit. Impeachment is just not a political reality because the four of the Democratic team will just line up just like that, and not one of them will vote for impeachment.
Yeah, impeachment's just not a – and forgive me, Bruce, we got a horrible connection. It sounds really, really muddy. So I'm going to cut you loose. The impeachment to me is just not viable. I think it's a waste of time. It would be just further divisive, and more divisiveness is not what the country needs. And the reason I point these things out, because I think it's important to point out what the president says versus what the reality is. And so when he's out there saying, you know, you're suing me for doing my job. No, that's not why he's being sued. He's being sued because he's taken upon himself to do the job of Congress. That's why he's being sued. Not for doing his job. Now, he would define his job that way, but that's not what the Constitution says. And see, those are the things I think have absolutely got to be pointed out. So when he stands in front of a crowd and, you know, and this gets a lot of support, oh, you know, it'd make for great sound bites. But the reality is that, you know, he's not being sued for doing his job. He's being sued, as you just heard John Boehner say, because as the chief executive, he's taking it upon himself to do things that are against the law. He is encroaching on the role of Congress. 336-1320 is our phone number. Good morning, Nels. You're on Kello.
Yeah, Greg, I just have a quick thought here. I'm kind of getting tired of this reference after all these years to President Obama formerly being a, quote, constitutional law professor, unquote. He is not. Now, I have yet to see the syllabus or whatever the actual description of whatever seminar he was sitting there preaching in front of back then. But, you know, I could guarantee you, no, he's not a constitutional law professor. He doesn't, by all accounts, I don't believe he's ever read the whole thing. I aced my constitutional law course in law school, and he doesn't seem to have any knowledge of it at all. It's very loose what you can say. You can get up there and say, oh, we're going to talk about, have a little seminar. We're going to talk about the rights under this amendment or that amendment. And all of a sudden, I taught constitutional law at this college. You know, that's so loose. He is not a professor. He doesn't know the Constitution. There's a reason we never heard of his grade. Never had his grades released in college or law school or anything because he doesn't, you know, I'm sure they weren't that good. So don't tell me that that guy made a constitutional law professor. They used to say in law school, the A students become the law professors, the B students become the judges, and the C students become the millionaires. Well, he ain't no A student, I can assure you of that.
Nels, it's good to hear from you. It's been a long time.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for the call. 336-1320, 1-800-228-4435. Hi, Chris. You're on Kello.
Hi, Greg. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Hey, I live down in Kansas, and I'm up here in Sioux Falls visiting some family. And we have an interesting thing that goes on down in Kansas. The divisiveness is pretty tremendous. And I'm a little bit off topic from what you're talking about. But I'm a moderate Republican. We get money come in, so we take all moderates out and only bring in strong Republicans and strong Democrats. So we're totally divisive, and it makes no sense at all. It makes it so that neither side can work with each other, and that's exactly the opposite of what we need. Whether you're on the right or whether you're on the left, what you need is people that can actually sit down and come up with things that can work, whereas we don't get that at all, and Kansas is like a hotbed for it, Greg. I don't know if that's the way it is here, but that's the way it is there.
Republicans are in pretty strong control here in the state. Democrats have had a hard time even fielding candidates for a lot of our legislative offices. So what you see in South Dakota is that Republicans we haven't had a Democratic governor since I was a kid. So, I mean, it's been decades since we've had a Democrat governor in our state.
You were at the University of South Dakota like 50 years ago. So you haven't had a Democrat in office?
I lived
across the hall from you in Vermilion.
Yeah, we haven't had a Democrat
that was like
governor.
Ages ago.
Dick Knipe was our last Democrat governor.
I'm giving you a hard time. I'm just riding you right now.
I just realized who you are.
I get it. That's all good. It's all good. And,
you dog. Jerking me around. Hey, still jerking me around after all these years.
Some things never change. Some things never change.
Did you ever think I'd be a foaming at the mouth, raging conservative when I was young?
It just blows me away.
Tell people what I was like when I was young.
My friend, liberal Greg Belfridge. who was up against everything, and now you, Matt Staub, and you all just fell off the side of the earth. It's like, and I'm driving up, and I can't figure out if I'm listening to Rush or listening to Greg. And I'm like, what is going on?
Oh,
but I was a Democrat, but now I'm a Republican.
What changed your mind?
I think that side is the side that Moore's going to get done on. That's why I just think Moore's done there, more positive. But sincerely, Greg, we've got a real problem in Kansas, and because we're a strong Republican state, but there's so much money thrown at getting away from any moderation. There is no moderation there at all. It is, if you aren't strong one side or the other, you don't make office anymore. And so I just don't see how we can ever come out of this if we're going to be so divisive. Because that's all that happens is when Bush is in office, everybody yells at him. Obama's in office, everybody yells at him. Hell, nothing's ever going to get done. Anyway, nothing's ever going to come out of it without people screaming and yelling and complaining. And the fact is, look at it, we can't get a fence built, for crying out loud. We can't get a fence built. How obvious is this?
Yeah,
fence built.
I totally agree. Hey, pal, it's so great to hear from you. And it's partly what I was saying earlier. I think a big part of the problem is Congress no longer votes on clean bills. There are things that members of Congress agree on, but then they want this, and the other side then wants that. And so they don't pass clean bills like they used to. We're out of time. My friends, have a great weekend. So long until Monday, and may God bless.